Good morning. In Scripture, there is no other biblical character that embodies the journey of faith than Abraham. And perhaps because it's a sweeping saga. Most of the characters in the Bible appear here and there, but Abraham's story goes on and on and on. And to think that one man called to leave his family, his country, his tribe, and a family that was barren, who had no child. And in those days, that was a shameful thing. And to think that God would call him out to leave his family and to go to an unknown land, a place he had never been before, and would most likely never have gone to. And so Abraham heeds the call, and he follows God. And we know, if we're familiar with the story, that it wasn't an easy journey. There were a lot of challenges along the way, and Abraham makes a lot of mistakes, like marrying Hagar, because his wife suggested it. And as my biblical professor, Hebrew professor in seminary said, when your wife tells you to take another woman, you know she's not serious. So there is all of this humor that's wrapped up in the story, but we are astounded at Abraham's faith. And over and over and over again, his faith is tested, and he is being told that he is going to father a child in his old age. And once he fathers that child, he's asked to give him up. He's asked to give him back to God. And everything is hanging on the promise. Everything, this promise that God told him in the beginning of Genesis, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. There's another story where God takes him out in the evening and he looks up at the heavens and he says, do you see the stars of the heaven? And your offspring will be as many as the stars in heaven. And like Mary, Abram says, how can this be? And he makes a promise. He makes a covenant with Abraham, and he promises him to fulfill this promise. And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And that word in Hebrew to believe is the same word that we often, that the same origin for amen. So be it. That it is to put one's total security in the hands of God. Not in Prudential or whatever your insurance company is, but really in the hands of God. And so Abraham trusts him and he moves. He moves, he goes, he keeps taking the journey. He keeps putting one step in front of the other. And so the whole journey, you and I are called to follow this same journey. The same journey as Abraham. And we make that journey with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But it is a call of faith. And I think it's really important that we make the distinction about what faith really is. And in our day and time, it's quite confused with belief. In our day and age, belief is not about trusting in God and placing your security in God. It really is about belief in a concept and thinking that you know. Whereas faith is stepping out into the unknown and knowing that we don't know and trusting that God will provide. That's faith. But it's scary to live a life of faith. And especially if we have not cultivated a relationship with God in which there is trust, a real basic core of trust. That we know that our best interest is in the hands of God. So much of the time, churches want to live in certainty. Churches love place. We love being here. And yet the journey is an ongoing movement, very much like the labyrinth that you see at Grace Cathedral and other places. It is a constant journey towards the center. And if you've ever walked the labyrinth before, it's tricky because you think when you're close to the center, you're actually furthest away. And when you're furthest away, you're actually closer to the center. So as a congregation, not just as individuals, we are called on a journey of faith. And we exist here as a community, a gathered community, a called out community to worship God and to witness to the love of God in the world. And we've been given a beautiful house of worship. And it's really important for us to remember that this house of worship doesn't belong to us. It isn't ours. We've been called to be the caretakers, but it's not ours. It belongs to God. And we're here to fulfill God's mission, not our mission. And if you look at this journey of Abram, he's God calls Abram out not just for Abram's personal fulfillment. It's not about him as an individual. God calls him to be a blessing to all the families of the world. And that's what faith is. When we are called out by faith, it's not about our little life. Certainly you and I benefit from that journey of faith. But it's always about a much bigger picture about what God chooses to do through you. And it's very tempting to make it about us, about our personal life or our little community. It's really about what God wants to do. Imagine in the 12th century, if you were Bishop Maurice de Sully, who was called to build the Cathedral of Notre Dame. An enormous task. One that he never saw completed. It took 200 years to build Notre Dame. But look at how many people have been blessed by his answering of that call. Billions and billions of people. Notre Dame receives more than 1 million visitors a year. And isn't it interesting when it burned 6 years ago? The outpouring all around the world from Christians, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, spiritual but not religious, because that place was so sacred it touched the lives of everyone, regardless whether they were Christian or not. It has nothing to do with membership. It's God's mission. It's what God wants to do because God loves everyone. And it's so important for us to remember that. Faith, to step out in faith, requires total courage and vulnerability. Because there is no certainty there. We are completely open and trust. We're called to be vulnerable, to trust God's promise, because it's about what God wants to do, not what I want to do. So we're called out in courage and vulnerability. What gets in the way of faith is possessiveness, clinging, and certainty. When we have something beautiful, we want to possess it. If I see something beautiful, I want to buy it. I want to own it, a beautiful work of art, you know. And our whole culture is sort of built around that, isn't it? You see it, if it glistens, I want it. I'm going to take it home with me. I want to possess it. I want to hold it. But the beauty in a house of worship is really to point us beyond the beauty to the creator of the beauty. Beauty is its own kind of icon. And it is an invitation to unification with God. That is the whole glory of beauty. that symmetry that we experience in beauty is the relationship that God so longs to have with you. And it is a reflection of our soul and God's longing to be united with our soul. And our longing to be united with God. So we don't have to possess it. We don't have to cling to the object. We're invited to look inside and to find the reflection of that beauty in ourselves. But it's so hard not to cling. It's harder to know how to let go. Several years ago, Alan Watts, who was an Anglican priest, came to the United States from England. And he brought sort of, also he was very interested in Zen Buddhism, and he brought that to the West. And he wrote a book called The Wisdom of Insecurity. Bestseller and truly a classic, one that we all should read. The Wisdom of Insecurity. And I want to read you what he says about faith. He says, we must make a clear distinction between belief and faith. Because in general practice, belief has come to mean a state of mind which is almost the opposite of faith. Belief, as I use the word here, is the insistence that the truth is what one would leaf, L-I-E-F, or wish it to be. The believer will open his mind to the truth on the condition that it fits in with his preconceived ideas and wishes. Faith, on the other hand, is an unreserved opening of the mind to truth, whatever it may be. And whatever it may turn out to be, faith has no preconceptions. It is a plunge into the unknown. Belief clings, but faith lets go. In this sense of the word, faith is the essential virtue of science. And likewise of any religion that is not self-deception. So this faith is not setting our hope on something that is preconceived and fits into our framework of thinking. It's a step into the unknown, into darkness. The mystic St. John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, they write over and over about their relationship with darkness, of not being able to know. And knowing is sort of a grasping thing that the mind does. And that's what our minds do. They like to grasp ideas and concepts. But faith comes from the heart. And what we have to learn, as Abraham did, is that the mind has to be in service to the heart and in service to spirit. Because faith is not logical. It isn't business sense. It's not even common sense. Faith is trusting that God has our greatest interest in mind. And also God will care for us, but in working a much bigger plan that involves everyone else. And so much of what we're witnessing in the United States today with Christianity is so much centered on me and my God and our little faith. That isn't faith. That isn't faith. Faith is what Abraham was called to. To be a blessing to the whole world. And perhaps maybe our faith calling may not bless billions of people, but if we are willing to step out in faith, God will fulfill the promise to us. And we're being called right now to step out in faith, to step out to raise money for restoration of our house of worship. And it may seem scary. It may not seem logical. But we believe that's what God is calling us to do. And if this is what God is calling us to do, you can be assured that it's a much bigger mission than you and I could ever imagine. Because it's really not about us. It's about what God wants to do in the world. Because this is God's church and God's mission. It's not mine. It's not yours. We're in this boat together. Literally, that's what the church is. A nave, a navus, a ship sailing like a soul on its journey. That's how the church is formed from the moment we enter the door with Christ above, Christ being the door. We enter through Christ and we make our way to the altar. The altar of the church is like the heart of the human body. That's where we come to meet God. And not that we can't meet God outside of this building, but symbolically it helps us internalize how we encounter the divine. And so I'm asking you, inviting you to step out in faith as a congregation. And so I want you to take this green piece of paper out of your bulletin. And I have a couple of prayers here that you can take with you and pray that really embody what faith means. One of them is quite well known by Thomas Merton. And I've taken the liberty to change all the pronouns from the first person singular to the first person plural. And let's say this prayer together. Our Lord God, We have no idea where we are going. We do not see the road ahead of us. We cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do we really know ourselves. And the fact that we think we are following you does not mean that we are actually doing so. But we believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And we hope we have that desire and all that we are doing. We hope that we will never do anything apart from that desire. And we know that if we do this, you will lead us by the right road, though we may know nothing about it. Therefore, we will trust you always, though we may seem to be lost in the shadow of death. We will not fear, for you are ever with us, and you will never leave us to face our perils alone. Amen. So I encourage you to pray this, not just for yourself, but for us as a community. And be willing to nurture your faith. One of the beautiful things about faith is faith does not stand alone. Faith is accompanied with hope and love. Faith, hope, and love, the blessed Trinity. And you can't have one without the other. They go hand in hand. They're interwoven. Faith is love. Love is faith. But we can't have faith or love without hope. And as we hear in the Epistle to the Hebrews, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So faith, hope, and love, may they accompany you on your journey. May they accompany us on our journey to the heart of God. Amen.